Thank you. All right. Okay. So this is part two of what James has to say in chapter four about conflict, strife, quarrels, fighting. One thing's really important to keep in the front of our minds. All of this, all that we've seen about the power of our words to destroy or to affect people's lives positively or negatively, all the things we've heard about the contrast between real wisdom and godly wisdom and earthly wisdom and being a self-proclaimed instructor of others, all of that stuff, including what we talk about tonight, was all written to church people. And I think that's really good to keep in our minds. It says something to me about James's experience, because he wrote this quite late in his life. After being in leadership in the Jewish synagogues, and then after coming to Christ and becoming a Christian, being the leader of the church in Jerusalem, which was sort of the headquarters church, which is no small deal. There were thousands and thousands of people. So James, late in his life, has seen it all in the church, and that's why I always take these words so seriously. What I have discovered about it, and the reason I'm so excited to teach it, is because there are things in all of this book that have just transformed me. They've changed my way of thinking. And the two-part series that we're looking at now, even though the chapters and verses are numbers written in your Bible, they were not part of this letter. They were added later for purposes of reference. It was just a letter. So unfortunately, when we take it chunk by chunk by chunk, you can lose sort of the context of it. One of the very last things that we saw James say after he talked about godly wisdom versus people just who like to tell other people what to do. One of the last things that he says in chapter 3 is that peacemakers, people who actually are depositing peace and creating peace wherever they go, he says those people are going to reap a harvest of righteousness. And I find it just really significant that on the heels of that, the very first thing that he says in chapter 4 is what causes quarrels and fights among you. So he's talking to church people, so it is a problem. I don't know if you felt the same way that I did last week. When I gave you this handout about controlling passions, Julia told me something to add on to that list, and I did, and it fits really well into what we're talking about. But if you don't have one of those, pick one up. There's still some out there in the lobby because it goes along with the study last week. But I found this to be extremely illuminating in my life. It's just so easy to blame shift for all of us, especially if we have a persistent problem with a certain person and we react in a negative way. It's just so easy to blame that person. God, if you would just straighten them out, then I would be okay. And we're going to see tonight, after James talks about what the real cause of conflict is between people, we're going to see what the solution to it is. The solution is incredibly simple. But it's remarkable to me how many of us can go through our lives, and some people I know have gone through very long lives and never connected the dots with the solution. Because it doesn't come from where you think it should come from. We usually look at the solution to conflict as, like I said, God straightening that other person out. But the thing we looked at last week is James says, well, the problem isn't that other person. The problem is there's an internal battle going on between your controlling passions, the thing that is driving you, and the Holy Spirit, which is trying to shift your entire center of gravity to be not self-seeking and self-centered anymore, but to flip that around and make us like Jesus. And so we looked at those controlling passions, which James says in verse 1, are part of that inner struggle. In fact, verses 1 through 5, he brings out that the struggle is between the Spirit of God, which longs jealously, he says in verse 5, for my faithfulness to God, for me to be married to him, so to speak. That's why in verse 4, talking to the people that have all these conflicting loyalties, he calls them adulterers. And anytime God calls his people adulterers, he's speaking of spiritual unfaithfulness. He talks about friendship, dependence upon, reliance upon the world system versus God. And he said that's you can't do that because they're at war with each other. There's another source of conflict. It's like that old, that the only country song I've ever written is called One Foot in the Rowboat, One Foot on the Dock. And it's that position of trying to balance yourself between the world system, which is all over the map, and God's kingdom, God's rule in our lives, which is solid and unmoving. And that is a very unstable place to be. So James talks in great detail last week about what the cause of the bottom line cause of the strife is. An internal battle where I have unmet needs, I have controlling passions, I'm expecting other people to meet those needs. And sometimes people are able, and sometimes it's impossible for people to meet those needs. God intended that he would be the one that was our primary need meter. And so we struggle because we're not getting what we want from people. We're not getting our way. And James says, well, the main reason that your needs and longings in your heart aren't being met is that you're not asking God to be the one that meets them. And he said, or you do ask God, but you don't get what it is that you want because your motives are so out of whack that you just want to waste what he gives you on fleshly desires. And God isn't going to do that. He loves us too much. So that, in a nutshell, is what James talks about.